Let's turn now in our Bibles to our New Testament scripture reading. This morning we're at Acts chapter 20, page 1100 in the Pew Bibles. Acts chapter 20. Picking up after the riot that had happened at Ephesus was quelled. When the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. He traveled through that area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people, and finally arrived in Greece, where he stayed 3 months. Because the Jews made a plot against him, just as he was about to sail for Syria, he decided to go back through Macedonia. He was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus, from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy, also Tychius and Trophimus from the province of Asia. These men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. But we sailed from Philippi after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down and threw himself on the young man and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. He went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. The next day, we set sail from there and arrived off Chios. The day after that, we crossed over to Samos, and the following day arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, though I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none among you whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Congregation of Christ, it takes more than a well-planned wedding ceremony to make a good marriage. And raising a family involves more than simply having babies. In a similar way, fulfilling Jesus' great commission takes more than simply telling people about Jesus and starting churches. The Apostle Paul was arguably the greatest evangelist and church planter the world has ever seen. He traveled the Roman world declaring the good news of Jesus, calling people to repentance and faith in him, and establishing churches wherever people responded positively to the gospel. But Paul knew that the calling given him by the Lord Jesus was much more than simply the charge to evangelize and to start churches. It involved the nurture and the care of the church. Before he left Ephesus, Paul encouraged the disciples in that place. And when he arrived in Macedonia, Luke tells us that he spoke words of encouragement to the people. Christians need words of encouragement. And Paul traveled on from there to Greece, Achaia, that is, most likely meaning Corinth. And Luke says that he stayed there for 3 months. Well, why did he do this? It was to encourage and to strengthen and nurture the church. And he not only encouraged the church at Corinth during his stay there. While he was at Corinth for those 3 months, Paul most likely wrote his letter to the Romans in anticipation of a future visit to them. And that letter, which through God's special care became part of the New Testament, has been a blessing and an encouragement to Christians ever since. Paul cared for the church by encouraging the believers and instructing them in the faith. And he also engaged them in service. In verse 4, Luke gives a list of Paul's companions who accompanied him when he left Achaia again and went through Macedonia, heading towards Syria. Luke not only lists the names of those men who formed Paul's company, he gives the places that they were from. And if you notice carefully, you'll find that the men represented the various churches and cities that Paul had ministered in. Now, Luke doesn't say why these representatives of the churches were with Paul. But if you read the epistles, especially Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, you'll find that Paul had been raising funds to bring an offering for the relief of the poor in the Jerusalem church. These men from the various churches accompanied Paul in part to bear witness to the fact that the gifts from the churches had been delivered, and then to report back to the churches about that fact. In that sense, they filled the role of accountants for the churches. Additionally, they would be able to testify to the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem about the wonderful work that God had been doing in the churches that were among the Gentiles. These men, Paul sent ahead of him to Troas. Paul himself and Luke and his company celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread at Philippi, and then they moved on to Troas and met up with these men who are mentioned in verse 4. Verses 7 through 12 are favorite verses for preachers, since they seem to give a ready excuse for preaching lengthy sermons. I'm not at all certain that that was the reason why the Holy Spirit moved Luke to include that in this account. The story certainly authenticates Paul as one whom God accredited through powerful miracles. In the Old Testament, Elijah and Elisha had raised the dead. Peter, we already read in the book of Acts, had raised Tabitha from the dead. And here, Paul raises Eutychus. We do learn something about the early church from these verses. Already in Acts, it was the custom of Christians to come together to hear God's word and to partake of the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread, on the first day of the week. The first day of the week was the day on which Jesus rose from the grave, and it was later to become known as the Lord's Day. And so here we see the church gathered to hear the word and to break bread. Well, during that meeting, Eutychus fell from the window 3 stories to his death. But God granted that the boy be restored to life through the intervention of Paul. And the miracle was very similar to how Elijah raised the son of the widow of Zarephath, right down to the detail of Paul throwing himself upon the young man, putting his arms around him. God showed that he was powerfully at work in his apostle, just as he had been in Elijah and Elisha before him and in Peter. And the Lord showed that he loved his church. The church, we read, was greatly comforted when they received Eutychus back alive again. Luke records how Paul and company then traveled through Troas, from Troas, and he records the several stops at ports along the way, finally reaching Miletus. They had bypassed Ephesus, but upon arriving at Miletus, Paul sent for the elders to meet with him there. Luke's summary of Paul's parting message to the Ephesian elders is the only sermon in the book of Acts addressed exclusively to those who were believers. He was speaking to the elders of the church of Ephesus. The Greek word for elders is presbyteroi, It's the word from which we get our word Presbyterian. And Presbyterianism is rule by the elders. Paul tells the elders to be shepherds of the flock, to be pastors. Pastors are those who care for the sheep. Elders are pastors. And he says that God has made them overseers, which comes from the Greek word episkopoi, often translated as bishops. It's the word we get episcopal from. An Episcopalian form of church government means rule by bishops. Well, elders are both shepherds and overseers. Paul reminded the elders of how he lived when he was among them. He had served the Lord with humility and tears. There were plots against him, but he had cast himself on the Lord. And he wanted the church to remember the example that he had set for them. The elders must also serve the Lord with humility and tears. Paul says in verse 20, "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you." And he'll repeat that again in verse 27. The teaching ministry of elders is primary. The major activity in shepherding the flock is teaching. It's feeding the sheep. And that's why Paul, when he writes down the qualifications for being an elder in 1 Timothy, has as one of the qualities that an elder needs to have is to be apt to teach. You feed the flock by teaching them. In verse 27, Paul says, "I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God." That's what the congregation needs to hear. The whole counsel of God. Not just what the elders or an elder thinks that the sheep would like to hear. Certainly not that which matches up with what's simply popular at the time. And not the things that people just find easy to accept. There's times where what has to be preached is hard things, but since they come to us from the Word of God, we need to hear them and accept them. To be faithful elders and shepherds of the flock, the whole counsel of God needs to be proclaimed. Doctrines which the world derides, but which are taught in the Bible, must be proclaimed. The world hates the doctrine of human sinfulness and helplessness before God. But those truths need to be proclaimed and taught, because if they're not, how will anyone understand their need for the Savior and for His blood atonement? We need the encouragement of the Scriptures, but we also need their rebuke. The warnings of the Bible are things we need to hear along with its comfort. The flock of God needs the whole counsel of God. Paul told the elders, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Elders must exercise a careful watch over their own lives as well as over the flock of God. There was a problem with Old Testament Israel. The shepherds of Israel became foolish and wanton. They couldn't rightly lead the sheep because their own hearts had strayed. Overseers, elders, shepherds must keep watch over the flock and their own lives. When Paul wrote to the Galatians, one of the topics he brought up was about restoring someone who had strayed. And in chapter 6, verse 1, he writes, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted." Those who oversee the spiritual lives of others must watch themselves. Well, not only does Paul command the elders to be shepherds and overseers, he puts them in remembrance of who it is that the flock belongs to. He says, "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." Those who care for the souls of others must never forget that those they are caring for were bought and purchased by the blood of God. It's an interesting expression. You don't find anything like it anywhere else in the Bible. God the Father, being spirit, doesn't have flesh or blood. The blood that Paul's speaking of is the blood of God the Son, which means that this verse is a declaration of the deity of Christ. Jesus is unmistakably God. The church of God was purchased with his blood, and it's precious to him. Paul reminds all those who exercise leadership in the church that they're caring for the church of God, which was purchased with his blood. Look at the importance of your job. Your task is a God-appointed task. It's not a trivial thing. If Jesus bled and died for the church, then you must treat the church as truly precious to him. All those who exercise leadership in the congregation share this pastoral concern. The lazy Sunday school teacher who places Saturday night pleasures above Sunday morning Sunday school is failing to understand the importance of these little children for whom Jesus died. The ill-prepared Bible study leader is failing in his or her responsibilities, seriously, because God has died for this group of people who are gathered to hear God's word. The cowardly minister who will not speak the truth out of fear of criticism or the desire to be popular has failed significantly in this. The greedy materialist will not put aside his career for caring for God's people has failed to understand God and his work in the world. People of God, if we don't see God's flock as God does, who will? Satan sees the importance of it, and that's why he sends divisive leaders among us. Paul warns us to beware of wolves. Look at verses 29 through 31. Listen to what he says. "I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard and remember that for 3 years I never stopped teaching each of you, warning each of you with night and day with tears." Some wolves come as wolves. When Jehovah's Witnesses come, you know you're dealing with the wolf. All you have to do is to ask them whether or not Jesus is God. Their breath smells like wolf. greater danger is when the wolf comes from within. When a wolf comes in wolf's clothing, it's pretty easy to know what to do. But when a wolf comes in sheep's clothing, when a wolf comes from among your own number and fellowship, when it knows how to say the things that you expect a true brother or sister in Christ to say, then that's when you have to be most wary. Wolves don't care for the flock. They seek to draw the sheep away after themselves. They're more concerned in making their own disciples than they are in caring for the flock for whom Christ died. All wolves care about is their own appetites. Well, Paul reminds the Ephesian elders of the way that he had lived by way of contrast. Verse 33, I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself when he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The way of the shepherd is to care for the sheep. So the care of the church was heavy on Paul's heart and mind as he said farewell to the Ephesian elders. He knew he would never again return to Ephesus. The church would have to carry on. And so he committed them to God, to the word of his grace. As we live before the face of the Lord, awaiting the day when Jesus comes again, there are two things which must occupy our minds and our efforts. We must first be faithful to Christ's great commission. And Paul refers to that in a way in verse 21. There's just this little brief and concise summary of the message of the gospel there. He says, I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. That's a message we must declare. To Jews and Greeks, to all people, we must teach the good news and plant churches. But the church also needs to be cared for. And God has given to his church elders who are pastors and overseers. And everyone who shares in the ministry of the church to some degree shares in that work. We must labor faithfully, caring for the church, which is made up of those for whom Christ died. And as we do, we may expect his blessing and protection. The wellness of the church and the spread of the gospel was the chief thing on the Apostle Paul's heart and mind. I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your care for your church, you have given us elders who watch over our souls. And you have commanded us, Lord, to love one another and to remember that we are the body that Jesus Christ shed his blood for. Lord, help us to be valiant for truth. Help us, Lord, to always teach the truth and seek the truth and believe your word. And Lord, keep us safe from the wolves of false doctrine, the wolves, Lord, that would move us into some kind of activity or behavior that is abhorrent to you. Lord Jesus, keep your church pure. Keep us lively and vital until the day you return. Thank you for your great love for your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.